Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Good morning. This is the second time I've got to preach in person in about 7 months. So I've been preaching online a lot. I don't record. I actually do it live online, and then it's recorded and put on the internet so other people can get it later. But that's in Spanish. This is only the second time I got to preach in person, and it's both times in English. So it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you. And greetings from Honduras. Sister Katrina sends her greeting and her thanks for all your participation in the gospel until this day. And going forward, we are appreciative of your partnership in the gospel and all the Lord has done all these years. We have a few years to go yet. Believe in the Lord's coming back soon. But if he doesn't, we still have to win our generation to Christ. And so a lot of times we put our attention on the fact of Jesus coming back, and we should. But also he said that we are supposed to be occupied and working until he comes. And so we need to be doing both. And if he does come back, praise the Lord. But if he doesn't, praise the Lord too. You know, we have our generation to win. And I'm going to be talking a little about that in our vision and what we're doing and what we're planning for the next decade here. When we started out 29 years ago, we're looking at a 40-year space of time to change the face of the nation. And, well, we only got about a decade left. So, anyway, I would like you to go in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to read from 10 to 12. A part of this chapter, of course, is upbraiding people for thinking about going backward. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about the good part here. Amen. In verses 10 through 12, it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." The Lord is not unfaithful. You know, we're going through difficult times. And the Word of God is really clear about this. You know, in the end times, difficult, hard, and dangerous times shall come. It's very clear. It shouldn't be a surprise to us unless we're just not reading, you know, the Bible. And I've been talking to Pastor Mark, and we're all waiting for things to go back to normal. And I was mentioning this morning, well, what's normal? Sometimes what we think is normal. I mean, if you compare it to what the Word of God says and what God thinks, we're not living nothing normal, even before we got into this mess. You know, and so it depends on the measure you use, the regla. The rule that you use to measure normal. And a lot of times our normal is, you know, what we see every day. And for us, that's normal. That's not God's normal. I mean, you have to go to heaven to see God's normal, you know. And that's what we're working for. And that's what we should be looking at. But the Lord is not unjust. Forget our labor of love and the things that we've done, the things we've invested in. The years of service in ministry and sowing the word of God into people's hearts, but sowing finance, sowing time, praying for people and interceding that the gospel might be preached around the world, preached to different nations. And so this morning, I just want to share more about the mission this time that I'm here. We might get off on some other things. You never know by the Holy Ghost what we do here. But in 1986, we were called to the field. We went to El Salvador for 4 years. And then the Lord had spoken to me in about 1985 to go to Honduras. But I put that on the shelf because I knew that wasn't a possibility at the beginning. But in 1989, in El Salvador, the Lord began to speak to me in Inquietar. Sometimes my Spanish words come before my English ones do. But began to disquiet my spirit about what was going on. You know, we were in Honduras. We were ministering in the church. I was an elder in the church. I was head of the deacons, head of the Bible school. Our life was there. Our friends were there. I was just set to be there the rest of my life. That's how things were going. And then all of a sudden, I just felt that there was something wrong. You know, sometimes we're walking with the Lord, and it seems like everything's in place and everything's going well. And all of a sudden, deep down inside, it just doesn't feel right. And sometimes we think that there's something wrong with us, or that, you know, the devil's doing something. And it's like Pastor Mark was talking earlier about the Lord testing us. You know, the Lord has a plan for our life, each one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're called to the ministry or not, as far as full-time ministry. We're all called to ministry, to serve. And that's what these verses are talking about, ministering to the saints and do minister, serving the body of Christ and doing the will of God so that the body of Christ is built up. People come to the Lord and the church grows and matures spiritually so it can reach even more of the world. And so, if you ever get that, you know, just don't, if you ever start being disquieted inside about your life, don't just pass it off as, you know, something from the world or something that's coming against you. Because it's from the inside, it's the Lord. He's speaking to you. He's leading you into what he wants you to do. And this is a total different direction. I mean, it's a different country. And he had spoken to me years before about it. But I just said, okay, you know, I'm going to put it over there. And it's almost like I had forgotten about it. But just that quick, when I was in my spirit, just having that, you know, there's something not right. Brother Hagin used to say it's like washing your feet with your socks on. And so it just wasn't quite right. But everything was just, in the ministry, everything was going perfect. I mean, it was just, not perfect, but I mean, it was going forward, and we were reaching people, and we were getting more and more Bible school students, and we were training people, and it was expanding the kingdom of God, and everything was what we thought, you know, life should be as far as serving the Lord. But then that came up, and then I said, what is this? And I just didn't know what it was. So one night, I just sat down against the wall, and this is back when, you know, no cell phones, and I still had cassette tapes. There weren't CDs yet. And this is the 80s, you know. And so put the tape recorder there and put my Hosanna music on and my David Ingalls music on and started worshiping the Lord. And I said, I'm going to sit here and worship the Lord until I figure out what's going on. And, you know, when you have that type of attitude of the Lord, it doesn't take long for the Lord to let you know exactly what he wants you to do. And so that same night, he reminded me. He says, remember I talked to you about Honduras. Excuse me. And the Lord, he's so faithful to bring things to pass. Yeah. Things you don't think are in your own mind, you think, yeah, that's possible, but is it really possible? And so they reminded me of that. And from that day forward, I spoke to my wife. Of course, Sister Katrina, she had her own thoughts about where we should serve as ministers, as missionaries. And it wasn't the Honduras. So I said, you know what? I believe the Lord is telling us to go somewhere else. And she said to me, you know, I'm ready to go anywhere except Honduras. And so I said, well, you better pray. And so she prayed, and it wasn't a few days later, she come back and says, you know, I'm ready to do what the Lord wants us to do. I'll go. And so we've been there. We moved there in 1991. In July of 1991, been there for 29 years. We started out with a radio program, and we had that radio program for 13 years, every morning, Monday through Friday. A teaching radio program, not preaching. There's plenty of preaching going on at that time. And, you know, programs about birthdays and about this, that, and this program and that program, but there was very little teaching about the Word of God. And so we started that program, and we went for 13 years. And then in January of 92, we started the Bible Training Center, which has developed into a three-year program now over the years. And have graduated thousands of students to reach their own people. Because when we went, the vision, actually the commission, let's put it this way, the commission. If you go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So if the Lord is disquieting your heart about something in your life and there's a change of direction, take the time to find what it is. That was the point I was trying to make earlier when the Lord started speaking to me in that time in El Salvador. Everything can be all right, and still the Lord has something else for you to do. You know, He wants to take you on to complete the vision He has for your life. The Lord has a purpose for your life. And it's not just what normal people would think, you know, about living your life and having a job and making money and having good things and going through life without tests and trials. Well, that's, Pastor Mark said, you're going to be very disillusioned if you think that's the way life is going to be. That ain't the way life is. Testing and trials always come sooner or later. And it's what we do with them that makes a difference. You know, it's not testing and trials is not for God. He already knows you. It's for you. It's for you to know who you are and where you're at and what you need to do to get on with life in the Lord. And so that brings you to repentance, to change your mind about things, change direction about things, and do what God wants you to do with your life. That's what testing and trial does. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things that you have heard from me or of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also," will be able to teach also in the New King James. That was the verse that the Lord gave us. And our commission was to train the nationals to reach their own country. That was our commission when we went to Honduras. We met Pastor Mark when he came down with Pastor Mike Jacobs. I think it was 1995, the first time he came down. 1998, well, maybe it was 96. 1998, when we opened the church, he was talking about the first time he preached. He preached the first service in our new building, and that was in August of 1998 when we moved into our new building. And he had come various times before that, like two or three times, I believe. Before that, we had these campaigns and the kids' campaigns and the seminars and the teachings and stuff that he had participated in up to that. But the first service that we actually had that he preached in was that service. And that was the first service in the new building of our church. That property now is about $1.3 million with all the buildings and additions that the Lord has made all these years. And that has happened in our actual, like, support is $2,000 to $3,000 a month. That's what we've lived on and what we exist on personally and even at the start of ministry with that over the years. And it's hardly ever changed, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. But all the rest of that, the Lord has added. Different times, different ways, through different churches. The people there, just time and investment and growth and things like that. When we came, it was a field. When we purchased that property, it was actually a football field, a soccer field. And they had kind of planned it out to make houses, but they never did. So we showed up one day. Somebody just called me out of the blue. He knew I was looking for a piece of property. I had given up. I had looked for two, three months looking at properties all over. Knew the Lord wanted us to buy a piece of property and put a building and start the Bible Training Center in our own place and stuff like that. And of course, the church was going to be starting. So we were looking and looking, and we couldn't find anything. I said, "Lord, this ain't working. I put it in your hands. I leave that." You know how many times I've done that in all our years of ministries. You know, we're just doing everything we know to do, and we come to the end of it, and we say, "Lord, You know, this, we can't do this. We just, this ain't working. Put it in your hands. It wasn't just a week or so later, this fellow called me and said, I got this piece of property over on this other side. You don't want to come and look at it. I walked down this road, and you'll remember the road, that little road coming down the hill, you know. And at that time, there was a little creek there. There was no bridge. We had to put our own bridge in. Came in there, and there's piles of refuse, from building roads and stuff they had dumped here and there around the different places. And we come down there, and I saw that, and I knew that was it. I mean, the Lord worked that fast. You know, sometimes you think in your own knowledge you're going to be able to do things, but the Lord, he just works it out, and he just lets you know that, you know, what's going on here is me, it's not you. And if it weren't for the Lord and his power and his strength, you're not going to get his will done anyway. You know, the Lord shared with me a number of years ago the thought of who can do the work of God. There's not one human on this planet that can do the work of God. Only God can do the work of God. He just uses us to do it. Sometimes I'm doing the work of God. You're not doing anything as far as the work of God. I mean, you're allowing God to work through you, but you can't do God's work. Only God can do that. And he just proves that over and over. I mean, sometimes we think we're just going and, you know, and then we get stuck there and we just say, okay, Lord, we just hand it over to you. And he just opens it up again, all over, and just proves again that he's the one that's doing everything. We're just along for the ride, you know. We get to be blessed and enjoy his presence and all the good things that he gives us. We can just keep our perspective right, you know. And so our commission was to train nationals, and we started doing that in 1992, and we've been doing that ever since. And thousands of people have been trained, and thousands of people have been saved and come to the Lord through the different programs and things that we've had. And you've all been a part of that since about 1995 or 1996. I have to go back and look at the records. They're all there. Consult them. But we've been partners since then. And you have sown into Honduras. And in Hebrews 6, where it says, the Lord is not unjust to forget your labor of love. And so the time we live in now, and I know you're full of faith. Pastor Mark feeds you the Word of God. And the Word of God brings faith. But to encourage you in the time we live, whatever missions that you're with and the way you're sowing into the world to win people to Christ and to edify the body of Christ, whatever you're doing, continue to do that. Don't look at the things that are happening and be convinced that those are the answers or that's the way that things are going to change. The Lord is the salvation of mankind. Lord is our salvation. He is our light. And we can't just stop doing things because something becomes hard or something changes and it's not as easy as it was before. Or we have to suffer maybe different things in our life that we didn't have to do before, we have to do now. That doesn't change the plan of God. That doesn't change the Great Commission. That doesn't change what the Lord has commanded us to do. We can't sit back and say, well, we're going to wait and see if things get better before we can do so. That's totally unacceptable to the Lord. He is not unjust. He doesn't forget what his people have done. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread, the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what's happening. You know, through all this, the Lord has been taking care of us. You know, we can't go anywhere. We've been in our houses for months and months, and then online, and we get to go into town just once a week or twice a week, and make sure we got groceries. There ain't no place to go and do anything. Everybody else is on lockdown too. Weren't able to really get out of the country until August. I mean, you could get on a special flight, but you had to get permission to travel and permission to get on the plane and permission to do this and that, and our son did that in July, but in August, finally, they opened up the flights coming in out of Honduras again, and I was able to come up. But through all this and the changes that are happening in our lives, you know, maybe You will never go back exactly to the way things were before. Are we willing to accept changes in our life and still serve the Lord, even though we don't get everything we want? This is a question we have to answer to ourselves. We have to consider it. Not that things aren't going to get better, just the things that, what do we have to do today to do the will of God? What do we have to do tomorrow to do the will of God? What do we have to do next week to do the will of God? Whether or not men cooperate or not with what the Lord wants to do. And this is what we're called to. What Hebrews is about. Don't go back, go forward. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to walk with Jesus and to do what he has called you to do. So we started the Bible Training Center in 92. Then the church came along in 96 to train people on in church, in the body. And then in 99, we started Living Water Academy, the school. This is just kind of a rehash of what we've done to remind you what you've been doing along with us all these years. And all these people have been touched just because people like you have decided that you want to do what the Lord wants you to do and to help other people do what God has called them to do. You know, there's no way to reach the world by just doing it yourself. The gospel says in Mark chapter 16, it says, preach the gospel to every creature. There's no way one of us can do that. Especially now in the time we live when there's 7 to 8 billion people on the face of the planet. You know how many people that is? It's mind-boggling when you start. You know how long it'd take you to count that high? And so how will you can possibly reach that many people? And so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go ye and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave us the key on how to preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples. You can't do the first without doing the second. It's kind of like, in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, turn over the acts of your body and get rid of this stuff. And then it says, be renewed by the transformation of your mind, of the renewing of your mind. You can't do verse 1 without doing verse 2. And it's the same thing here. You can't preach the gospel to every creature if you don't make disciples. In other words, it has to be multiplied, and we have to work together. The Lord made it that way. It's a body thing. It's a church thing to be able to do the will of God. And so I want to encourage you to continue to whatever mission it is that you help, whatever person that you help to do what God has called them to do, not just what we do in Honduras, but whatever it is. Because anything that happens in the world, it's nothing new. Not that it never happened before. There's nothing new under the sun. No, I mean, we're not talking about technology and the details and all that kind of stuff, but men and women, humanity has never changed from the beginning till now. We're the same as we've always been. You know, just Jesus gave the signs, you know, just like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Lot. It'll be in the days, you know, when I come back again. It's not new. Everybody likes to say that humanity, because of evolution, which is totally a lie, you know, we were taught in school to believe all this junk. We can call it crap if we want. I know that's a little word there, you know. but it's a total lie. And so we have advanced, you know. There was the caveman, and then we learned more, and we developed, and now we're just so much more advanced. If you read the Bible, we're still the same. You know? Nothing's changed since the beginning until now. It's just a matter of who you want to serve and who you want to follow, whether you're going to follow God or you're not going to follow God. That's the big decision, you know? As we're serving the Lord in these things, we have to decide what we believe and what we don't believe in this hour. It's only 250 years we've been believing this bunk that everybody came up with. And it was even theologians that came up with it, you know, millions of years. And and evolution. It comes out of people, church people. They came up with these ideas. Of course, they probably didn't know Jesus. You know, it started in the 1700s, and with these millions of years of the geologic column and everything like that. And so then I built on top of that evolution in the 1800s. And so it's only been 250 years that these lies have been brought forth. And they believe the lie. It's part of the lie. You know, we don't need God. We can be here and be our own God and be our own destiny and believe the lie. So we can stop or we can go forward. What do we choose? And so all these years, 29 years, we've done this training, and churches have started out of the church. Five churches have started by people that have come from our church. That's just five churches. We're not talking about churches that have been started because of Bible school students. We're talking about tens and scores of churches that have started that way in Honduras. The seminars that we've done. Pastor Mark has come, Sister Phil has come. Many times we had seminars where people's lives were completely changed by the Word of God. And they grew and they went and did what God had them to do. In Honduras, when we arrived there, it was about 13% evangelical Christian. When we talk about evangelical, we're talking about born-again Christian, whether it be a more normal conservative type church or a more charismatic church, that whole group together. But mainly people that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. About 13%. It's well over 40% now. But that means more than 50% are not. So when we arrived, we had this trained national regional people. And our vision had to expand and had to develop into what the Lord, what we could look at, what we could see. And we developed this stamp out spiritual ignorance in Honduras, if you remember. Shared that during the years. And the regions around about. And the goal was that every person will receive the gospel, that will hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just any gospel. You know, Galatians talks about you have received another gospel. I mean, there's all kinds of gospels out there that change the truth about Jesus one way or another, so it's really not the true gospel. But that you hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ and have the ability or the chance to receive him. And then if you do receive him, you have the opportunity to be discipled in the Word of God and to grow and find the purpose for your life and be active in the kingdom of God. So that was the whole thing of what we're looking at. And then we realized this was going to take a while. And so we just said 40 years is a good amount of time to be able to do this. Well, 29 and next July will be 30. So we've got about a decade left. So we're making our decade plan. And we want you on board. We want to finish what we started. We want to, what Paul said, I have run the race, I've finished my course. We want to finish our course for what the Lord commissioned us to do. And maybe he has other things that he's going to add on and we'll do. You know, I'm only 60 years old. Figuring I'm going to live to 180 or 200. I mean, I got a lot of time to go yet. You know, but I said that since I was a little kid. I was going to live 200 years. Even before I really knew the Lord, I used to say that all the time. But I'm only 60 years old, but if the Lord is going to come back and all the signs, you know, are pointing to that direction, you've got to be living in a box somewhere if you can't see what's going on, you know, with the treaties that are being made in the Middle East, the alignment of nations that are happening in the Middle East with the rest of the world, Western nations and the nations in the North, Russia and stuff. The alignment of nations that are coming forth, Ezekiel chapter 38, is you know, becoming a reality. And that was, you know, we're talking about 2,500 years ago that was prophesied. And now it's finally, yeah, lining up. And people have been talking about this. When I first came to the Lord and I was studying end times, I thought, ooh, this, you know, this and this. And everybody's talking about this alignment of nations and everything. And nothing really ever happened. And little by little over the years, you know, I see things, and I thought the Lord was going to be back by the year 2000. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've been in the Lord for a while now, and 2000 came and went, and 2010 came and went, and now we're at 2020. And so it should be an exciting time for us. Well, you have to grab a hold of it as that and not be looking at everything that's evil in the world, because that can shake you. You know, if you're consuming more of the news than the Word, then you're self-inflicting your own pain and demise. It is true. And so we want you on board with us. You have been all these years. But we want to finish our course. We want to finish the job that the Lord gave to us. Maybe not one more person will come to the Lord. I don't believe that. But even so, we have a job to finish. To reach all nations. And a nation in the Bible is not a country. A nation in the Bible is a cultural language group. That's a nation in the Bible. And so within Honduras, there's a number of those. I mean, there's the main type of people, but then you have 3-4 different Indian tribes, groups, nations. Some have been reached in a little, and some not so much. And those need to be reached too, and they will be. But that includes all nations around the world, not just countries. You say, well, that country's been reached. Well, that's not what the Bible talks about. It's that nations, people, groups with the same culture and language. Those groups, all groups of those will be reached. And then the end shall come. So that's the only sign that we're given in the Word of God. That's the sign that we have something to do with. The rest of the signs are all in the world, what's going on in the world. Our sign is our job in finishing the Great Commission and making sure that the gospel is preached to all nations. And then the end shall come. And so we want to do our job in Honduras. And I'm sure the other missionaries that you support are wanting to do that too. You know, I'd say everybody ought to be doing this 10-year plan now. If it don't take 10 years, then it shouldn't take 10 years, but we got a 10-year, we want to make a 10-year plan. If it takes 3 years, you know, if Jesus comes back, he knows if we've done our job or not. You know, he's the one who said when he's going to come back, the Bible says, and gives everything, so we ought to be looking in that. But we have to do our job anyway, even if he doesn't come back. The generations that are alive right now are our responsibility. We can't just say, well, Jesus ain't coming back, so it really doesn't matter. That's a lie. We have a responsibility to reach the generation we have now, whether they're children, whether they're youth, or whether they're adults. But how are you going to reach the next generation? This is the key. Because in 2014, this is the last thing, the major thing that we actually instituted was Project Jehoshaphat. And I know you've probably read about it in newsletters and so forth. But Project Jehoshaphat was started to reach into the community with our Bible school students or our church people, whoever wanted to teach the Word of God, and find a group of people, wherever it might be, whether it's offices, government offices, private commercial things, or wherever. But the main thing that opened with that was with the public schools. Actually, our people find doors open to go in public schools and start teaching children within the schools. And so I think we're reaching, well, before we got shut down this year, we were into about 10 to 12 different public schools going in each day, one day a week into each school with different people and going from class to class, teaching a truth about the Word of God to every child in those schools, every class. You know, there's some people that don't want you to do that. There's the world that doesn't want you to do that. The devil will move people for you not to do that. But you know what? The Lord opens a door, and no man can shut that door. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that we want to continue that and expand that. Why? Well, what if the Lord doesn't come back? What about the next generation? Who's going to reach them? You know, if you don't reach the children, the gospel can disappear. In one generation, you can lose the message. Just like they talk about losing your liberty. The same with the gospel. If you don't teach people the truth, and you don't win them to Christ, and if you don't reach that generation that's coming up, That's reaching from the bottom up. You know, we concentrate on adults, and I did that for years, and I've repented lately. Not that we didn't go out with kids. We had campaigns for kids and everything like that. But we have gangs, and we have youth throughout Honduras, and we have murders with those day by day, 5, 10 people killed, murdered, because they don't know Christ. And there's a failure there to reach them when they're children. And so I would say to you to change your thinking a little bit on the way you think about reaching the world. Tomorrow is based on the next generation that's coming along. It's not based on those that are here now. Those that are here now are pretty much set the way they are. Not all of them. Many will change. Many will not. But tomorrow is based on those that are coming up now. They have to be reached from Christ. You have to reach in and make a positive effect. You have to go after. You have to make a determined decision to do that. And if I had done this in Honduras 20 years ago, we'd be in a different position today. Why I couldn't hear, why I didn't understand. You know, there's a lot of things you can, a lot of questions, and you could actually condemn yourself, but I'm not going to do that because, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere anyway. But you have to learn. And so when Project Jehoshaphat came along and we started doing that, and the Lord opened the... I wasn't even attempting to do that. I wasn't even looking at them at the schools. That wasn't even in my mind. And the Lord opened that whole thing up. Say, who can do the work of God? Only God can do the work of God. And sometimes you don't even see what he's doing, and he's doing a great work, and you're just kind of along for the ride. But you have to learn and totally change your perspective on things. The church in the United States has failed. They sent all their kids off to pagan schools to be brainwashed, to not believe the word of God. And then they ask, what is our problem? And it was their own failure to not obey God. Well, we didn't know. Well, you disobey God by not reading the Bible then. Because he gave you the word to teach you so you could know. And then you didn't. And so you didn't know. And so then you did something you shouldn't have done. And then you received the consequences. And so what are we doing to change that? I believe the Lord uses everything, even the bad. He doesn't do the bad. But he will use that to turn things around. Amen. And I believe it's changed a lot of people's minds about what they're seeing. Our brothers and sisters are seeing the failure, seeing what needs to be done. I hope so. If Jesus doesn't come back, we have a generation that has to be oriented correctly, or it's going to be worse. Yeah, well, then it'll be so bad that Jesus will come back. Well, why do we want it to get worse?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not going to happen in my day. Yeah, you sound like Hezekiah. You know, he showed everything around, and then the prophet Isaiah comes and says, what did you do? And he says, well, you know, I did all this. And he says, now you know what's going to happen? Babylon is going to come, and they're going to take everything and strip everything out of here and take everything and take over the city. He says, oh, that's fine. It's not going to happen when I'm alive. He wasn't thinking about his kids or his grandkids. What kind of a world are our kids and grandkids going to have to live in? We become so short-sighted. And I know this is not popular, what I'm saying. It's not even popular with me. Because we like to be comfortable. And we like to have a good life. And to put ourselves into a situation where we're uncomfortable is a little difficult for us sometimes. But if we don't, in other words, if we don't exercise some kind of restraint, if we don't exercise some kind of effort to make changes that need to be made for the benefit not only of ourselves but of our kids and our grandkids, then where are we? You have to stop and think about life and think about what the Word of God says. And critical thinking is lacking in our society. It shouldn't be lacking in the church. The church is light. It's the salt. If we're not light and salt, then who will be? There's no light or salt, because the church is the only one that can be light and salt. And so if we're not, then who will? No one. And so as we approach this time when we call it the end times, and we're expecting Jesus to come back, and we see the signs and stuff, the only way that's going to happen is that we do our job too. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to step out? What does the Lord want us to do differently now that we haven't done before? Because to have change, you have to do something differently. If you keep doing the same thing you've always done, you get the same thing you've always had. And so what are you going to change to have something different? And that requires effort. Mental effort. Because your mind doesn't want to change. It gets comfortable right where it's at and can handle the stuff where it's at. And so that's where it wants to be. But the Lord never allows us to do that. And that's one of the things that sometimes I get tired of this. I was something else. There's always something else. Well, you're always going to be tested or tried, just the Bible says, you know, because the Lord wants to bring you higher. He wants to bring you up. He wants you to be able to conquer anything that comes along. The test now is so that you can overcome the next thing. But our society will fall apart. It is falling apart. Yes. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to throw up your hand and say, that's it? No, we can't do anything about it? When the church is the answer? The Bible has always taught that the church is the answer. Empowered by the Holy Ghost. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, but empowered by the Holy Ghost. And so, in Honduras, we want to take this last 10 years of this 40-year period that we had determined, and we want to finish our course. The Lord expands it to other stuff. You know, if he doesn't come back, he's going to. I mean, he's not going to let me do 10 years and then sit down. How many know the Lord doesn't have that plan when you turn 65, you get to retire? Everybody, that's a man-made thing in the 20th century. We get to retire at 65. That is just something all made up. Yeah, but that's what I've been taught my whole life. Yeah, I know. I mean, Bible. Well, you can retire from your work, but, you know, then go do something that God wants you to do. Extra, something better, something.
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm talking about different things this morning, but it's all about your vision. It's about what our commission was. What's your commission? What has the Lord commissioned you to do? Or have you even asked him what you're supposed to do with your life? What do you want to have done by the time Jesus comes back, or you have to go to heaven? As far as the kingdom of God, what does the Lord want you to accomplish in the kingdom of God before you leave this place? What is it? Do you know? And if you don't, then you have to ask, what am I supposed to accomplish before I leave this place? The Bible says the life of man is as a vapor. It's as the grass of the field. Today is, tomorrow's thrown into the furnace. It's true, our life is very short. Some of you are older than me. I'm 60 years old, and I feel like I've just been here like from yesterday, maybe. I just finally felt like I just got out of high school. I mean, until I was like 50-something, I felt like I just got out of high school. And now, you know, 60 years, I think, man, that was just fast. And people think I'm old. You know, I don't look that old, but... And then 60. When I was a kid, 60. Oh, wow, 60, they're old. And I feel like it's been like a puff of smoke, like the Bible says, you know, just been just a little while. And how much time do you have left compared to, you know, eternity? It's a very short time that we have here. But what is it the Lord has you here to do with your life before you leave this place? In other words, what are you going to be putting into eternity? What are you sowing into eternity with your life? What is going to be there when you get there? The only thing that can be there is souls, people's lives that have been changed. I welcome you into the everlasting habitations. The only thing you can take with you as far as your family is your kids. You're going to take your car, you're going to take all that money, you're not going to take your house, you're not going to take, you know, anything else. The only thing you can take along with you is your kids if they get saved. Are you training them to get saved? Are you training them, your grandkids? Are they knowing the Lord? Are they going to be there with you? Because it's the only thing that's going. Amen. None of this other stuff is going anywhere. Right. It's all going to be burned up anyway. And so, you know, it's perspective that we have to bring ourselves back to the perspective. There's nothing wrong with stuff. Stuff is stuff, you know, and there's always going to be more stuff. There's always more stuff. Yeah, I can prove that. Just move into a house and after about 5 years, wonder where you're going to put the next stuff that comes. That's no problem, you know. There's always more stuff that comes along. And so it's not about that. There's always more stuff. But, you know, what's your life mean? And I know, here's the church, you know all this stuff. A lot of times we get caught, you know, in the whirlwind of life, everything going on, and the changes that happen, and all the voices that are speaking to us to distract us, to get our focus on something else or someone else, and not on what the Lord has for us. It's easy to be distracted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, probably not an amen, because that means so be it. You don't want that. You know, that's a term of being in accord. That's an agreement term. Amen is an agreement term. We don't really want that. But I'm not going to get a witness. It's easy to get distracted. Yes. Yes, it is. For all of us, it doesn't matter who we are, it's easy to get distracted. We have to decide where we're going to put our focus. And so we've decided now our focus is this decade to finish what the Lord gave us. And the Bible school, that means we're going to have to train more students in our Bible training center, to prepare more ministers to multiply, to reach their own people. And the other pillar is, of course, the Jehoshaphat Project, funneling more ministers into to reach the children. Because if we go on, the next generation comes up, there's going to have to be something to fill in the gap coming up. If you don't build from the ground up, then you have no foundation in about 15, 20 years. There's no foundation left. Everything's at the top. There's nothing at the bottom. There's nothing to sustain the weight of society because there's nothing underneath with the next generation. And so those are two of the main pillars. Of course, we're going to keep doing everything we've been doing. And you're involved in all of that. But these are two of the main things that we need to concentrate on. We need your prayers for these because we need more laborers. We need to be able to concentrate and focus these people into these places, the right people. Of course, you know, we have to deal with what the devil's doing. He's going to try to mess things up. So we need prayer, you know, and intercession for that so that we can see and know what's going on too when we need to, but cut off those things and be able to get these right people in the right places, that people will volunteer, that they'll be able to see the vision, know what the Lord wants them to do. You know, you can't just bring everybody into the ministry. There's just, you don't have the financing to do all that. People have to, as the body of Christ, have to do what the will of God is for their life. And so they need to volunteer one day a week, one morning a week, to go in and teach children. And we're talking public schools. This is an amazing thing. It's just, you know, here in the States, they probably try to hang you for what you're doing, you know. And they're not, the government's really not in agreement there. But the thing is that the directors and the teachers, they know. that they can't do it. They know that it's falling apart. They know that there's something that the children need. And so the directors, they'll say, okay. And as soon as we get in there might be a few teachers against it, but as soon as we're in there for like a month or a month and a half, all of a sudden their tune changes because the kids have changed. Amen. You bring the power of the Word in the presence of God into a classroom. Amen. Children are not adults. They don't carry all the baggage that we do. They're open. Jesus said, if you don't change to be like a child and have the faith of a little child, you know, then you're not entering the kingdom of God. They're just kind of like, you start talking about God, and they're like, you know, eyes wide open, they're ready, you know. And so their lives start to change because the love of God is touching them. The presence of God is there. They're learning the truth. And so their lives start to, they're less rebellious. They're more open and things like that. And so the teachers see the change, and so they're just happy. You know, and then if we miss for some reason, like they have some special programs in school or something like that, and we aren't able to come in for a couple weeks, and then we come back, and they say, oh, thank God you're back. Because they know what that means. They know what it does. Many of the teachers even have come to the Lord and accepted Christ, you know. Many of them were already Christians. I mean, we got a lot of Christians in Honduras, but a lot of them don't know the Word yet. And so we're able to help in that way too. And so we want to train more people and even train the teachers even to do that within their own classrooms and own schools and stuff like that. And so as we multiply this, then we can reach more people. And so this is where we're going. We want to finish our course, complete it before the decade is up. If Jesus comes back first, that he knows that we've already finished and we're done. But if he doesn't, we want to make sure that the next generation is coming up and we're not going to lose all that we've invested. Amen. You know, the church has lost a lot of what it's invested. I remember the 80s. Oh, man, it was fantastic. It was glorious. I mean, it was fantastic. What the Lord did in my life and all the missionaries that went around the world out of that move in the 80s. All the different countries have been touched by missionaries, and Latin America is just full of the Word and full of born-again Christians because of what happened in the 1980s. Some people before that. I mean, there's a big chunk of people that were sent out and commissioned by the Lord in the 1980s that changed the face of Latin America. But Turkey was that way in the day of Paul. And what is it now? Greece, the Middle East, Egypt, Ethiopia. There's still Christians there. The church is still there. But there's some places where there are very little. And yet, there was the first places where the church was. So if we don't do our job correctly, if we decide that, you know, it's nice to reach our own age group and be content with our lives, and we don't pay attention to those that are coming up, there'll be nothing to sustain it later. And this is what the Lord has shared with me the last couple of years. It's just getting more and more into me. I know other people have had this in their heart forever, the children. They're called the children ministry. I'm not called the children ministry. But you still can have a vision. And you can still push towards something and make sure that it's being done. You want to change your nation. You want to change your country. Can't just do it at the top. You have to go to the bottom. You have to start at the roots. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you for your blessing on your Word and all that you've done in Honduras and all that you've used these people to help us to do what you've called us to do. And that you've done it. You've been faithful. You've loved those people, and you've loved us. You've forgiven us. You've changed our lives. You've changed their lives. You've brought them into the light so they can see you and know you and walk with you. But you know, we know, there's much to be done. So we ask you, Lord, to give us insight, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we might accomplish that, all that which you wish to do through our life. Pray for each one here today, Father, that that voice will be clear to them. And the part that is theirs, not the part that is someone else's, not to do what everybody else is doing, but to do their part, to be faithful, to be connected in, to be working alongside and with the church, to cause those things to be done. We give you the grace, the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.